Hello and welcome to the FV English podcast, your one-stop shop for Venezuelan football in English, bringing you fortnightly episodes dedicated to the Venezuelan league, the national teams and the myriad of Venezuelan players around the world. Happily today we are continuing the Toulon tournament mini-series, the Maurice Reveo tournament, because Venezuela have finished top of Group B. They're into the semi-finals unbeaten and with the best points return in the entire group. 8 points, that's two wins, one draw and a penalty shootout win for that draw for the extra point in the final game against Ghana after victory against Indonesia 1-0 and Mexico 2-1. We have been drawn against our neighbours, our South American neighbours across the border, Colombia. And joining me to discuss Colombia is a FV English regular. It's Simon Edwards, an Englishman like myself living over in sunny South America. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, no, pleased to be back on and looking forward to talking about the game.
For Venezuela, it's been a perfect debut at this tournament, a tournament that we've never participated in before. Some very excited to be participating and others not really understanding the prestige of this tournament. Colombia have played in this tournament many times and you as a youth football enthusiast know the importance of the tournament. So maybe it's been interesting talking to Naib from Mexico and Sadiq from Ghana, for example, who gave their opinions on what this tournament means to football in their country. But how's this tournament seen in Colombia? What's your view on the importance of this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, youth football in general is really important here. And, you know, Colombia don't always find the best talent or put together the best talent for their youth teams. That's been a criticism that a lot of the players who come through at 21, 22 weren't involved at the youth level. But youth football and in particular this tournament has been very important for Colombia, and some of the key players have emerged during this tournament. And I think Colombia have taken an under-19s team to this particular edition of the competition, which is the youngest side in the semi-finals. So I think so far, just to give you a very brief introduction to where Colombia feel, I think they're very happy, particularly after the first result. And now we've gone on to see that Comoros were actually not too bad, quite strong with a lot of players based in France. But on paper, it looks like a poor result to draw and lose on penalties in the opener. You know, some people kind of lost a little bit of interest in the tournament here. You know, there's a lot of enthusiasm. And then it's like, oh, no, actually, this is a lot of rubbish. And then we've seen that actually their opposition was one of the stronger sides in their group. They were very competitive. Colombia actually have a decent group here because it's a young side and a lot of players who have got first team minutes have it in the second division.
And like Venezuela, Colombia unfortunately won't be playing in the World Cup this year. But how does Toulon tournament and how does this team fit in with the current national team setup and the plans for the near future?
Yeah, I think because they're a bit younger, it's seen as something between the under-17s where it's very unpredictable, it's very hard to kind of pinpoint who's going to come through and step up, and the under-20s, which, you know, obviously the South American under-20s. So I think it's kind of a stepping stone team, and I think they're really looking for two or three to emerge and put themselves at the front of the queue for the under-20s, but then also looking forwards to the full national team. So I think it's an important competition. I think it's come at a right time for some of these players. And I think there's quite a few who began the tournament and people weren't talking about them, but who've already stepped up and really shown what they can do. And I think a lot of teams will be interested because, as I say, a lot of the most important players in this Colombian side are playing in second division. So they've done really well. And I think there'll be a lot of interest to see where they go. Probably in the Colombian top flight first, but then moving forward, potentially abroad.
And that's probably a perfect point to segue into who are the key players of this generation and who have been the ones that have stood out in the group stages of this tournament?
Yeah, so going into the competition, you would say Alexis Castillo Manyoma, who plays for Cotolua, who's a very dynamic kind of number 10, quite small, but has played regularly in the top flight this season for Cotolua. Quite a small side from just outside of Cali, but he's been really, really good, attracting lots of interest from abroad. And his numbers in terms of creation and goals were much higher in the second division because he helped Cotolua to get promoted. But he's played so consistently in the top flight and he's been creative. And he was obviously a player that Colombia were looking forward to seeing in this tournament. And I think he's impressed. I think he's been one of the better performers. Tomas Angel as well was one of the big names going into it. He's a player who, he's the son of Juan Pablo Angel. So he's actually eligible to play for England as well. So we'll see what happens there. And I think, you know, the idea will be that he moves to England as his next step, because he's eligible for the visa with no problems. He's a very talented player who's scored lots of goals for Colombia at youth level, but hasn't scored very often. I think one goal for Nacional in the minutes he's had. And he's definitely kind of been a star for Colombia under 17, under 19, under 20 level. But in this tournament, he hasn't found the back of the net. He didn't play in the most recent game, and Colombia looked good. So he's a player who's very talented, but a lot of people want to scream nepotism and say he's actually a bit rubbish. He's not rubbish. He's a good player, but he's got that, always got that pressure to kind of justify his conclusion. And not finding the net in the first two games, or for the third game either, has been tough on him, and has kind of made those who want to criticize him feel vindicated and those who want to defend him a little frustrated. So he's a good player dealing with some additional pressures. The player who's really stood out, I think, for me, is probably Puerta, who's got a goal, has got some assists. He's a central midfielder. Colombia basically play kind of a 4-2-3-1. But they have two number 10s. Luna from Deportivo Cali is the other one, alongside Manyoma. And then Cabezas is more kind of pace, more drive. So they kind of have that balance there. And then two sitting midfielders. Vélez plays it simple, wins the ball. And Puerta looks really interesting. He's a bit of a Telesco Segovia. Not on the same level, I'd say, but potentially could get there. 18 years old. He's a very good player, ball-playing midfielder. He's been really key in kind of keeping the midfield ticking over, and I like him as well. Finally, Mandija in defence. He's played quite regularly this season for Santa Fe in the top flight. So he's kind of the one player who's at a big club, but also has quite a few minutes. Mostly the Colombian squad is playing regularly for second division teams or on the fringes for kind of bigger first division teams. So like Mina, the fullback, has been good, but he's not had that many minutes at Cali. So that's kind of where it is. Goalkeeper, we've got Castillo, who plays fairly regularly for Fortaleza, second division. Or there's Alexei Rojas, and a long Russian name, who's a 16-year-old goalkeeper at Arsenal, who's looked very interesting, but hasn't played very much in this tournament, but is definitely a very important player, I think, for the future in Colombia.
And Venezuela fans will like hearing the Telesco-Segovia comparison, not necessarily for the play he's being compared to, but by the fact that he's a player that's catching eyes overseas and has obviously caught your eye. He's having a very good Toulon tournament. And I think anyone that's not seen Telesco-Segovia before, and this is their first exposure to him, it's probably a good impression to make, because in Venezuela, he plays deeper and he is more of a sitting midfielder. And if you look at him through Y Scout or Instat or Statsbomb or something like that, like his heat map and where he is, you know, positionally allocated is as a defensive midfielder. But you've seen in this Toulon tournament that he's very much box to box, can play through all three phases of midfield. And, you know, his tournament would definitely do his chances of a move to Europe no harm. But something I wanted to pick up on the Colombia squad, particularly when you mentioned Tomas Angel, is a player in a similar position, but didn't make it or didn't make the squad to Toulon. He was called up, but then pulled back from Envigado. Yasser Asparia, who, correct me if I'm wrong, is joining Watford in the near future.
Yeah, so he was called up to the squad, but because a lot of the players who are involved, there are a few players who are under 19 who have made it into the finals, the final eight. The top eight in Colombia go through to a playoff. And there's two groups of four. The top two go through, you know, the top of each group go through to play a final. And there were a few players who could have been called up to this tournament who'd been playing from some of the big clubs in the top eight, but weren't, because they were participating in the finals of the Colombian League. And yes, that's really, I was. So Envigado actually put their foot down a little bit and said, you know, we need him for the finals, which is a bit of a surprise, because Envigado are very much focused on producing youth players, moving them on. I suppose because he's already got his move. there perhaps is less incentive to kind of get him in the shop window of this tournament, because obviously it's full of scouts. So he's a good player. He's a very good player. Hasn't had an amazing season this year at Envigado. He's a talented player. He's similar, I'd say, to Alexis Castillo Manyoma. He's kind of a quick. He's got characteristics of a winger because he's quick and he can dribble, but also plays more centrally. He's kind of between an 8 and a 10. He likes to pass the ball. He's creative. He's very confident. Hasn't been quite as effective this year as he was the previous year before he got the move, but has played regularly and has definitely been a very stylish, talented, clearly talented member of the Envigado midfield. Hasn't carried them in the same way as a few other players in the Envigado side have. Hasn't been the standout performer, but wearing the number 10 shirt, doing things very elegantly and tidily and creatively, he's definitely stands out. But I don't think his impact has been quite what Envigado would have expected this year from a guy who's just moved to Envigado. But he's young, definitely very talented. He's quick. He's tricky. He can make some nice passes. Had a really, really impressive debut for the full Colombia national team. I think he would have been a very big addition for this side. And I think he would have really shone. But yeah, some other players have stepped up and it's given more minutes to Luna, who's really rated at Deportivo Cali. He's won whenever the team sheets are published, he's not there. The Cali fans are like, we want to see Luna because he's a talented, very talented local kid at a club that has a very strong academy. So it's been good to see players like Luna get some regular minutes. In particular, I think Vélez and Puerta, the base of midfield, have been very, very interesting. 2 18-year-olds, both at mid-second division teams, Bogota FC and Barranquilla, both 18. So I think this is exactly what this tournament's about, you know, seeing these guys emerge. And I think a lot of people will be following Puerta very closely because he's been very, very good for Colombia.
And on the flip side, Venezuela, this team, are with their key players, leaving their clubs in some situations without them. For example, Deportivo Táchira had to play their final Copa Libertadores group stage game without Yerson Chacon, who was the Liga Footbay Player of the Year, despite only being 18, in 2021. And ultimately, Táchira didn't get the points they needed, which was always going to be a big ask anyway there against Palmeiras in Brazil. And they're now in the Sudamericana round of 16. And similarly, some Caracas fans, more so than Deportivo Táchira fans, were upset that their young players, Sal Gararapa, Brian Ortega, Reni Rivas, were allowed to go to the Toulon tournament when Caracas still had a Libertadores group game against Paranaense in Brazil, which could have got them through to the last 16 in Copa Libertadores. So whilst I think Venezuelan football fans will understand the situation, it wasn't without a bit of sadness from the fans that the key players have gone to this tournament. But I think what this tournament means to Venezuela should outweigh that, because it's part of the new Peckerman era. It's a youth generation that didn't get to perform at the South American Under 20 Championships last year because of CONMEBOL's decision to cancel it in light of COVID. So it's a generation that, you know, would have lost this exposure, would have never had it in the first place without the Toulon tournament. So I think it's really good for them. Simon, what are your expectations for this game? I know you told me before we started recording that Venezuela, you feel, will have the stronger team. But when it comes to experience and history, this is Venezuela's first time in the tournament. They looked a little bit shaky against Ghana in the last game, where all they had to do was avoid defeat in 90 minutes to get through. They went 1-0 down around the 60-minute mark. Colombia, you know, probably one of the heavyweights in this tournament in terms of experience and in terms of youth national team experience at international tournaments. How do you see it going?
Yeah, look, I think Venezuela, obviously, as you mentioned, don't have the same experience in this particular competition, but I think they have high profile players with top experience, continental experience in Europe, at top clubs, for example, Perez up front, La Cava as well, playing at high level in Europe. So I think I think Venezuela will come into this. It'll be interesting. I can't say exactly, but it'll be interesting to see what the perception in Colombia would be. I imagine most wouldn't realize just how good this Venezuela side is, because I think with this Venezuela team, you look at it and I'd say there's probably six or seven who would be expected to become important national team players in the future if all goes well. With Colombia, I think if you take two or three, I think that would be a good result. So I would say Venezuela have a stronger side, a side with a lot more experience. I think getting out of the group, particularly after the first result, and you know, as I say, we've seen that the first result wasn't as bad as it seemed from fans who don't know anything about Comoros. They had a lot of players at good sized French clubs, so you know they're a decent team and they've been very competitive in this tournament. So I think expectations in Colombia started off very, very low and have picked up a little bit. So I think with the experience Venezuela have, with the quality they have, I would expect them to potentially win. But, you know, this Colombia side is growing in this competition. They've got a good combination of kind of pace and direct play with some, you know, creative players in there as well. I think that kind of underdog spirit is going to suit Colombia well, which sounds strange because obviously historically Colombian football has had some more high-profile successes than Venezuela. But I think this is the tournament's been taken very seriously by Venezuela, and I think that's a really strong thing and a really good thing. So yeah, I mean, it looks like to me that this could potentially be kind of a key moment in this new generation of Venezuelan football. Whereas I think for Colombia, if they get a result against the Venezuela side, that will be a huge boost. But I would be surprised if more than one or two of these Colombian players went on to play for the full national team. Whereas I think this Venezuela side could really help in the next year or so, the Venezuela first team. So, yeah, my money would be on Venezuela. But I think getting out of the group with the players that Colombia have taken is a good result. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think arguably this is Venezuela's best youth generation for 5 years. Obviously, 5 years ago was when the under-20s got to the final of the World Cup. But, you know, a lot of Venezuelan football fans, I know older Venezuelan football fans are always critical of this, and they say that every generation gets this label. But a lot of Venezuelan football fans feel like this is the best generation that Venezuela's had for a long time, and feel like it will be a while before a generation with this much quality comes through again. So I think this is why it was important that they did get this exposure. One area of the field that I think Colombia could take advantage of is perhaps Venezuela's defence. They're not the tallest. You and I, you know, are both fans of Andrés Ferro. We've discussed him, you know, on podcasts and privately for the best part of 18 months now. But he isn't the tallest, although he is very strong and tenacious. And his partner, Oscar Conde, has been, you know, out of competitive football for the best part of 18 months since that nasty injury at the end of 2020. He's only played 70 minutes of league football. So it's quite a surprise to see that he was the first choice centre-back for this tournament. And I think he's yet to miss a single minute. At left and right back, Venezuela have chopped and changed. There's been a different right back for all three games. Kova played the first game. The last game was Adam Buru. And for the love of me, I can't remember who played right back in the middle game. But on the left flank, Jesus Paz played the first and last game, assisting Dani Perez's equaliser in the last game. And Rene Rivas played left back in between. So that is the area of the field where Venezuela seem to, on the flanks, rotate based on whether they want more defensive fullbacks or more attacking fullbacks. And then in the middle, you know, Conde not with much game time and still looking a little bit heavy on his feet. And Ferro, who isn't the tallest, but is very aggressive. So it'll be interesting to see who in the game between Venezuela and Colombia start on the front foot and whether, like against Ghana, it was a game where momentum swung wildly throughout the game as to who was on top, or whether this will be a game where, say, like Venezuela were on top for the whole game and Indonesia were defending, whether a similar narrative will occur in Venezuela and Colombia or whether it will swing. But to hear you describe Colombia as potentially being an underdog in a game against Venezuela is definitely a contrast to the norm. So with the other semi-final being contested between France and my brain's gone dead. Help me out.
Mexico?
Yes, of course, Mexico, who finished second in our group, between France and Mexico. Who are you backing for a final showdown? Who are the two teams you see getting to the final? You said probably Venezuela in the Venezuela and Colombia game, but who are you backing for the other leg?
Yeah, I'd say probably France and I'd say probably Venezuela, but it would be interesting to see the approach of Colombia as well. Look, I've been following Footvey English, so I know how good this Venezuela side is. But it'll be interesting to see if the Colombian players have that traditional idea of, you know, the yellow shirt of Colombia so is above the red wine of Venezuela. You know, historically, if they have that confidence and if they take the game to Venezuela, which I think may be a slight mistake, but, you know, I'm all for confidence. And as I say, I do feel it's... anything beyond the group stage is a bonus for this side, but some players have really stepped up. So I would say probably France will go through to the final. And I think on paper, it looks like Venezuela. And in terms of attacking that defence, I think Colombia's biggest threat so far hasn't really been from the strikers. It's been the likes of Alexis Castillo Manyoma arriving in the box. So I think the Venezuelan defence will have to be switched on to that kind of thing. Colombia have played quite a dynamic three behind a kind of occasionally like a false nine, like a pivot who drops off. So it will be the players running in behind or arriving late in the box. I think they have to be wary of. And Colombia have scored quite a few from around the area as well. So they'll have to probably close down those kind of chances. So it will be interesting because I think Colombia have played fairly well. But I think a key part of their success has been kind of taking those chances. Particularly from the midfielders. Thomas Angel's missed a few. The Zuleta hasn't... He's been pretty decent, but I would say that's going to be key. You know, tracking those attacking midfielders as they arrive. They interchange quite a lot. So to kind of be on their toes and to be sharp and aware of that will be interesting. So yeah, I think probably on paper it looks like France-Venezuela, but we'll see how it goes.
I'll take France Venezuela. I'll take Venezuela Mexico either. Just to see Mexico and to see Venezuela in a final is going to be great. But even with the third place playoff, hopefully if Venezuela were to lose against Colombia, it would be nice for Venezuela to perhaps play France in the third place playoff. Just so it's another team they're up against, another style of football. I know that's idealistic and being very picky, but it would be nice to see Venezuela up against as many different types of football, as many different countries as possible. But also important for Venezuela away from, immediate on the pitch matters is from the group stage onwards in the Toulon tournament is when the majority of the scouts flock to the Toulon tournament. I know plenty of scouts and agents have been there for the group stages, but traditionally semi-finals onwards is when they, you know, descend on France. As an outsider, for Venezuela, if you're looking at players to recruit or players to suggest to European clubs, if I was to ask you for three names from the Venezuela team, who would be the ones that you tell people to watch?
Yeah, well, Segovia, for me, I've always loved him. And as you say, he's shown another side of his game in this competition to show that he's a real complete, not just the kind of very mature, intelligent kind of ball winner who keeps things ticking over, but to show that he can break forward with good ability and skill and creativity. So for me, Segovia will be the first player. Danny Perez as well, we've spoken about him for years. I think he's shown his qualities and is obviously a player who really stands out. Strong in the air, you know, exactly the kind of profile that a lot of clubs will be looking for. A striker who can find the net, who can hold it up, who can win headers, kind of captain of the side as well. So for me, he's another one who stands out. And then if I'm going to have three, you've made it quite simple because I don't have to go into others, but I'd say Chacon as well is obviously a very technical, creative, quick, sharp, intelligent winger. So there you go. I've got a striker, I've got a defence midfielder, or a mixed midfielder, as we can perhaps see as part of his game now, and a very talented winger. So there you go. There's my three.
Okay. Well, as you said, I made it easy for you for three. I'll ask one more question. Which Venezuela player that did you perhaps not know of before this tournament but has actually caught your eye, or perhaps you did know but he surprised you with his performances?
Ooh, okay. Now that's a more tricky question. Let me have a look at the team. Well, I've been impressed with Paz, I think. Not a player I knew very well, who I think has kind of added something breaking forward from fullback. I think he's been good. So, yeah, I could say Paz. And, I also think Ferro, who I like in a lot of ways. I had some slight reservations about, but I think he's been very good. And I think he's, we know he's aggressive. We know he's a good kind of defensive leader, a good ball winner. But I think in this tournament, he's shown his kind of medium range passing, playing out of the back, has been more consistent. Perhaps I haven't seen enough Venezuelan football. Maybe that's an area of his game which has improved. But I think in this tournament, he's shown me that he can definitely pass out of the back, which is one of my concerns with him. It's nice to see that he's improving that area of his game.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like I've liked him since, beginning of 2019, where he was playing first team football at barely 18 at centre back. And, I said from day one I liked him, and a lot of Venezuelan football fans didn't like him. And I think the reason why is he was always seen, despite, being young, he should have been given some flack. He was seen as quite technically limited. But what I admired about his game is that he still tried to make those passes. And, when else are you going to have the opportunity in your career to improve on the job? What you're not. When you're 18, 19 and playing in Venezuela, that's the time to do it. So that's what I've liked over the past 3 years. His technical game has definitely developed. And, I think that's being seen in Toulon now. Anyway, Simon, thank you very much for joining us. I hope your prediction is correct that Venezuela get to the final. But if not, and it is Colombia, I wish you the best. I always want to see South American teams do well, particularly in Europe. And with Argentina flying the flag against Italy earlier in the week at senior level, it would be nice that, if it's not us, it can be yourselves or maybe even a Mexico too. But thank you very much for joining us today, Simon.
No, you're very welcome. And as you say, having Colombia and Venezuela both in a semi-final of this competition is great for football in these two countries, and we deserve some good news after the international first teams haven't done the business for us. So yeah, it's great to see that the future's looking good.
Perfect. And hopefully this time next year we'll be talking about the same players or a handful of the same players, but at the Copa America.